marriage today. Marriage. No. You ever saw Princess Bride? Marriage? There we go. But as I looked at marriage, I found out that really I need to talk about the glory of God. Because marriage is the glory of God. And you know, some questions you can ask about marriage. Who first thought of marriage? Or you can even get down, who first thought of man and woman? When I was in physics, I was a physics and math major. That was after I flunked out of college the first time. I went back another time. So if anybody has trouble the first time, don't give up. You can make it. If I made it, you can make it. But anyway, in physics, they taught us to look at the edges of things. Because if the edges hold, the middle is pretty good. So if you can figure out what the edges are doing, it's a good deal. So the beginning and the end of a matter are good to look at. And then you might also want to look at what's the purpose of the matter. What's this all about that you're studying? We have a law in America and probably in every other country, copyright laws. You know about copyright laws? You can use this article, but you can't change it. Is one type of a copyright law. How many have been studying Apple and or reading about Apple and Samsung? Samsung is accused of borrowing some ideas from Apple. And they went to court and Samsung lost. It cost them, I don't know, $1 billion, $1.6 billion or something like that. A lot of money for robbing something that wasn't theirs. So the battle over marriage probably really comes down to copyright. Who's got the copyright on marriage? I'll tell you, marriage has been misused for a long time. It didn't start here, you know, just recently, but marriage has been misused for a long time, and it's costly because it went to court. It went to court already. And the payment for the misuse of marriage was settled at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every other misuse of God that man could come up with was settled at the cross. And it was a bigger payment than Samsung had to pay. It cost the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for the misuse of marriage for everyone. And we need to know that because He set things right. And He gave us the ability to set things right. But there's only one way to set things right. And I guess you could, you know, I got a little stirred up over this Minnesota marriage amendment thing. But that will never set things right. I've come to the conclusion that that won't set it right. Even if we pass it, and by the way, I think we should vote yes on that amendment. But that will not set it right. What sets it right is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to the Holy Spirit. What He wants you to do about your marriage. And for us in the church, we have that available to us. We have the answer to divorce. We have the answer to abuse. We have the answer to everything that could ever cause your marriage to fail. We have it. And the payment for that copyright abuse was settled at the cross through our Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image. According to our likeness, God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." Well, where did it all begin? Man and male and female started with God. God is the one who initiated this whole process of male and female. But what was His purpose for creating male and female? Well, you need to look here and first of all find out that He created us in His image and His likeness. That means that man had the glory of God. He created man in His image, in His glory, in His glory. But there has to be a purpose. The next verse, God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." Do you suppose that God's purpose has changed? I don't think so. I think that God's plan is always the same. He doesn't have a plan B. He's got plan A. And it will come to pass. So the purpose of man was to bear fruit of children by multiplication. And by the way, it really does take a man and a woman to produce children. That's how children come about. But if you study the Bible, you find out, and I could have listed lots of references, but if you look in the Bible, you'll find lots of references to the Lord wanting to have godly children on this earth. I mean, all the way through, there's that's repeated over and over again about multiplying and be fruitful. But ultimately, it's the children of God who have been born again into a living hope that was God's plan from the beginning. From the beginning, it wasn't about you having children just, but it was about people on this earth becoming children of God. That's God's purpose, is for all to be saved. All to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All to come into the fulfillment of the purpose to become a child of God. And to multiply. How do we fit into that? Well, we have been born again into a living hope, and Jesus Christ is the life-giving Spirit. And we have been called to spread that good news to all. So evangelism is the purpose of God for every believer, to bring many sons to glory. For this reason, chapter 2 of Genesis, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. If you look at that, you find out that family is all about God. Family is what God intended from the beginning. A man? Well, where did this man come from? He had to leave his mother and his father. He's a child of a mother and a father. The man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, who is also a product of a mom and a dad, another child. Family is in the heart of God. When you look at this, you find out that Jesus, the man, the second man. There was the first man, Adam, but Jesus, the second man, he left the family. He left the Godhead. He left for the purpose of coming to be joined to you and me, his bride, to cleave to us. To make it possible for us. He left. And he's bringing us, as he says, every family derives its name from God. God has a purpose for marriage. It's to show forth his glory on the earth. And I would say it's probably good for us not to change that. Or to fiddle with the mechanism. Because God is serious about His glory. His glory and His image cannot be improved on. It can be perverted. It can be robbed from, but it can never, ever be improved on. So if you think you can somehow figure out a different way to have more glory by doing it outside of God's plan, you're only kidding yourself. There is no better plan. That's the only plan to show forth the glory of God. So really, that's how it all began in Genesis. Well, we can jump ahead a little bit here. Revelation 19. Kind of get to the end of the story. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And His bride has made herself ready. Well, getting ready for a wedding is something else. especially if you're the father of the bride. And your daughter says, I want to have my wedding outside at our house. Another story, but I'll tell you what. Getting ready for the wedding is something else. But here it says the bride has made herself ready. So in the end of the Bible, we see marriage is the climax of God's plan. Marriage is the sum total of God's purpose for man on the earth. The purity of marriage points to God Himself. Marriage is a pretty high esteemed plan of God. It's not something to be taken lightly. Not something to be taken flippantly. The purpose for every marriage is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth with the glory of God. And here we see Jesus the man and the church, His bride. That's us. That's us. His bride, all that have been born again by the Spirit of God. So we see in the beginning is marriage, in the end is marriage. We believe that the pattern for marriage must stay the same from the beginning to the end. It doesn't change somewhere in the middle just because what was that, the Ford commercial? Ford has a better idea. They got the light bulb. I got a better idea. Well, there's lots of people today that think they have a better idea for marriage, but it's all humbug. To quote a not-so-good guy. Marriage, the way God intended it, is the best. You can't get it any better. You can't improve on it. I used to, tell my kids up in Red Lake, every once in a while we talk about drugs. And I said, if you take a car that's designed to run on gasoline, and you put the gasoline in it, it just kind of purrs and goes along, and then you mix in maybe half and half gas and half water, and you try to run this thing and it goes, That's cool. Let me try that again. In fact, I think this is a better way to be than the way it's supposed to be. I mean, how crazy can you get? You take drugs and you act nuts. You go off the deep end and do all kinds of stuff and you say, that's cool. Well, that ain't so cool. Well, we've done that with marriage. I saw a bumper sticker one time. It said, it's only kinky the first time. Well, move on here. I got to move quick. Ephesians 5. Here's Paul, quoting out of Genesis. For this reason, a man should leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We just saw that. Here's Paul quoting that. But then he adds an interesting little thing. This mystery is great. But I'm referring to what? Christ and the church. Do you know that your marriage, our marriage, whoever gets married is a foreshadowing of Christ and the church? I mean, what an honor. What an honor to be an example of Christ in the church. How many of you ever stubbornly came into the kingdom? Or are still being stubborn about it? Do you think that maybe if you were to give some thought about divorce, that maybe Jesus had a reason to divorce his church? Did he have any good reason? Just remember that when it gets tough. You're an example for Christ and the church, so that the lost will see that Jesus really came to save us, sinners. We're an example. We get to put up with things just like Jesus does. Isn't that wonderful? We should say it's wonderful, because we know the end from the beginning. Will Jesus give up on you? No. Will He give up on your marriage when you're trying to be an example for Him? No, He won't. He will help you. In fact, He sent us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to ensure that you make it. And you will make it. Candy and I will make it in our marriage. I know that. It doesn't matter if things don't go right day to day. That doesn't matter one iota about whether we're going to make it or not, because even though now for a little while, as Rocky quoted earlier, if you're distressed by various trials, guess what? It's for the proving of your faith, which is more precious than gold. So we do make it. And I assure each one of you, you're going to make it. You're going to make it if you don't give up on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will make it. I guarantee it. My dad's name was Warren, and our last name is Thompson, and he was a mechanic. So it always come with the Warren T. Well, my middle name is Warren. So I can say, I give you a warranty that you'll make it if you don't give up on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you can come up with, what kind of scenario you can paint about your special trouble in your marriage. I don't care about the story. I care about the Lord Jesus and His promise to never leave us nor forsake us. We'll make it. Guaranteed. Satan is trying to pervert and destroy marriage. It is an attack on God and His glory. It's an attack on Jesus and His church. It's an attack on the bride of Christ. Preservation of God's intent for marriage is all about preserving God's image and His glory. We are still to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth with God's glory. Of course, really the only way to do that is to see people born again, come into the living, true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and become children of God, bringing sons to glory. When you're born again, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So whether you're single, or whether you're ever been married or not been married, it really doesn't matter. You can fulfill the purpose of God through bringing sons to glory. We all have that mandate. We all can help. We all need to be evangelists for the Lord. Here's a little admonition from Paul. Whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Well, that includes marriage. So our motivation for marriage is to reflect God's glory. That's really the motivation for a Christian marriage, is to reflect God's glory. It isn't about getting my way. It isn't about the chemistry being right or anything else you can come up with that says this marriage isn't going to make it. No, it makes it because it's the glory of God. And God will see you through. It's all about Him. When you put your focus on Him, guess what? He gives you righteousness, peace, and joy in your marriage. And He will fulfill many things in your marriage. You'll have a satisfied marriage from Him. But you fulfill His requirement first. It's about Him first, and He takes care of us. We don't take care of ourselves. Where did that start? It's all about me. I picked up a thing, this little thing on our counter this morning. We're getting ready for church. Was it some insurance thing? It's all about you. That was what it said on the card. I said, that's good. Tell me more. Well, that's so much for that. We got off track when sin came in, and it was no longer about the glory of God, it became the glory of man. Man in his fallen state would ultimately forget about God's glory and gravitate to his own glory and try to make things better for him. What's good for me? And I'll tell you, you get two people in marriage that's looking out for what's good for me. Wes told me once, he said it's like two parasites. A parasite usually goes to a host someplace so it can feed off of it. But when you get two parasites trying to feed off each other, it's a sorry sight, I'll tell you what. And when you've got two people in marriage trying to feed off each other, they dry up real quick. God doesn't think about Himself, and He doesn't want us to think about ourselves. Self-centeredness is the fruit of sin. But we who are born again can once again shine and reflect the image of God. We can do it. Why? Because Christ is in us. We have everything we need to shine again. And the end of the matter with God is better than the beginning. We have a better chance now. In fact, we have a fail-safe plan for marriage today as a Christian. There's no reason for people who are following Christ to fail, because He will get us through. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. God's glory was restored to man through Christ. He didn't forget about us. He just fulfilled it in Christ. The glory of God has now been manifested in us, which is Christ Himself. He is our glory. Marriage without being born again will never truly reflect the glory of God. Whatever this world is going to provide with marriage will not produce God's glory. You need to be born again to truly reflect the glory of God. Legislation cannot produce God's glory. What people need is Christ in them, the hope of glory. How many more minutes can you give me? I got one page left. Can I go for it? God has a plan for us from the beginning to redeem us from this self-centered state and restore us to glory. Let's just read it. Giving thanks to the Father. Notice the word Father up there. Both sides here. Who has qualified us? Who qualified you? The Father. Who qualified you? The Father qualified you. He qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he, who is he referring to? The Father. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How did he qualify you? How did you get qualified? How did that happen? The Father qualified you because he sent his Son. He sent his only beloved Son into the world to die, to take away the enmity that was between us and God, and to restore peace between us and God through Jesus. Jesus was sent to take on to himself our old, sinful, Adamic nature that was given to us through Adam, and take the whole ball of wax and take it to the cross and crucify it and put it to death, in which we all enter into that death through baptism. We're buried with him. We're rose again in new life with him. And he qualified us. Now I want you to get that, because you didn't qualify yourself. And some of you may think that when somehow you were led to the Lord, that by the confession of sins, that you qualified yourself to come into the kingdom. Your confession of sins didn't qualify you. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who qualified you. You were qualified without your permission. He just did it. He took away the sin of the whole world when he put to death the old man Adam. All who believe on that, all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, are transferred by our Father out of this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Hallelujah. It's in there that you find redemption, and you find, my sins have been forgiven. Wow. I'm holy, blameless, beyond reproach in Christ. It is there that God's glory for marriage is truly protected from the evil one. It is there that we are protected from the evil one. All in the kingdom of darkness are doomed to destruction. That's why Jesus said, all who believe on me will not perish. I'm telling you, everybody in the kingdom of darkness is doomed to perish. There's no way out. All will perish in the kingdom of darkness. When Moses was shown the glory of God on the mountain, he said, "Show me the glory." And it was all kinds of good things. But at the end it says, "He will not let the sinner go unpunished." That's God's glory. He will not let the sinner go unpunished. I'm telling you, the sinner was punished. In fact, the sinner was destroyed. The old man was destroyed once and for all, and it is finished. All who are in Christ have eternal life. All in Him have been set free from the power of a sinful nature. Everyone. Another day, another sermon, but I have a sense that there are many Christians who really don't believe that they've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness, and they still struggle there, trying to be a Christian and not really removed. But that's for another day. Okay. Will we who are born again reflect the glory of God in our marriage? That's a question that you can take from today. We can pass legislation, but that does not guarantee God's glory. And like I said before, vote yes on the marriage amendment. I mean, the legislation is at least a step. But if the church doesn't grab hold of really the glory of God, you can have all the legislation you want. In fact, it would be a worse state just to put our faith in the legislation and not really change our hearts towards God. We, the bride, must show forth the glory of God in our marriage so the world will know that God sent His Son and that there's truly hope for marriage. There's truly hope for marriage. So, get through it. Whatever you're going through in your marriage, get through it. You can make it. You can do it. It may sound really tough and it may sound horrible, but I'm telling you can make it if you put your trust in Jesus. I'm not telling you if one of the marriage partners is off kilter and still just walking in the flesh and in the world, even Paul says that marriage may not make it. Let him go. If the unbeliever wants to leave, let him go. But if you're both Christians, and if you're both have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't ever give up. Don't ever quit, because God will get you through. And the faithfulness is that He's going to get us through with the church. And sometimes, looking at the church, you wonder, will the church ever get itself ready? Yes, it will. Yes, we will. Yes, we can. And just to quote another man. Anyway, Lord, I thank You for Your promises to us. I thank You that You gave us a way out. That even though we perverted marriage, You had a way of straightening it out through the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can enjoy the fullness of Your glory in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, I pray today that we, as a small little portion of Your body, could reflect Your glory. Your glory, Lord. We want to protect Your image of what You can do exceedingly above all that we can imagine or ask for. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for bearing with me. And don't take the nickel. Go for the $100.